You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Victory Monday episode of Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Whether you're watching it at home or you're in the stands like those South Park cardboard cutouts, Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day. Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. The New Orleans Saints improved to 9-2 and further their stance atop the NFC with a 31-3 victory in what has got to be the just strangest game of the year against the Denver Broncos, who played without a quarterback. Despite what the final decision and final score may indicate, the New Orleans Saints defense vastly outperformed the Saints offense. First, we'll start off with a quick recap of the wild action as the Saints and Broncos combined for only 75 net passing yards. Then we'll talk about Taysom Hill and why this game shouldn't entirely be held against him despite some continued struggles in execution. And finally, we'll dive in on the defense, who intercepted more passes than they allowed completions, and find out where this performance stacks up all time on the defensive side for the New Orleans Saints. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host of Locked On NFL. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. And what was undoubtedly the most interesting game of the week and strangest game of the 2020 season thus far, the New Orleans Saints blow out the quarterbackless Denver Broncos thanks to a showing so strong by the defense that it might not have mattered who was under center for Denver. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. The Saints get their eighth straight victory of the season, allowing yet another game without a touchdown. They haven't allowed a touchdown since the Week 10 matchup with the San Francisco 49ers. And this game obviously carries a large caveat, though nothing should be taken away from the Saints defense, who looked like it wouldn't have mattered what the situation was for Denver. It looked like they were ready to play out of their minds. But unfortunately, Denver in a very strange situation here with third string quarterback Jeff Driskel testing positive for COVID-19 and then having all three remaining quarterbacks, both on the roster and practice squad, removed from play by the NFL because of contact tracing practices and violating protocols in which they were not wearing masks in the quarterback room. That made all four quarterbacks, three on the active roster, one on the practice squad, ineligible for this game. So the Denver Broncos, after trying to promote and sign a couple of their assistant coaches to potentially play quarterback for them, including actually one of Latavius Murray's roommates from UCF who played quarterback back in the day, they ended up having to start a practice squad wide receiver instead, Kendall Hinton, who played 3 years of quarterback at Wake Forest from 2015 to 2018 before transitioning over to wide receiver in his final season in 2019. He had not thrown a pass at all in practice since getting to the NFL and hadn't thrown a passing touchdown in a game, in live game action, college or pro, since 2017. And in this game, he ended up getting his first snaps as an NFL quarterback for the Denver Broncos, matching up here with the New Orleans Saints. Needless to say, this did not go well for the Denver Broncos, who completed one pass all told in this game for 13 yards. They had a total of 12 passing yards, including taking away a yard for a sack by Cam Jordan. The Denver Broncos actually started this game off using a lot of Wildcat as well. Phillip Lindsay taking some direct snaps until he was injured and had to leave the game. Melvin Gordon did the same, as well as running back Royce Freeman, who was their emergency quarterback, other emergency quarterback, I guess you could say, in this situation. But they did try to throw the ball with Kendall Hinton a couple of times, and when they did, it didn't really work out for them. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, this is a guy, again, who has never taken even a practice snap at this position with the rest of this team. The New Orleans Saints had two interceptions in this game, as well as a fumble that was on a Phillip Lindsay muffed snap that Quan Alexander picked up and almost brought back for a touchdown, but the Saints did end up converting that into points over on the offensive side. The Saints could have had two other interceptions as well. Marshawn Lattimore dropped one, just ground impact when he fell to the ground, knocked it loose. And then Janoris Jenkins almost picked one off, but he got his interception later on in the game. And CJ Gardner-Johnson got the second of the two in this contest. The Saints scored a lot of points over on the offensive side, but none in the first quarter. It was actually a scoreless first quarter, and the Denver Broncos actually didn't complete a pass until the second half. It was the first time that an NFL team didn't complete a pass in the first half since the Denver Broncos did it back in the day when Tim Tebow was their starting quarterback. The Saints did manage to finally put some points on the board in the second quarter after a sloppy first quarter, a couple of rushing touchdowns by Taysom Hill and a late field goal, thanks to another takeaway by the Saints defense, ended up sending them to halftime up 17-0. Coming back in the second half, the Denver Broncos would actually strike twice, getting their only 3 points of this game. This one came off of a turnover as well. Taysom Hill trying to force a pass and off of a deep curl on the right side to Michael Thomas, but was a touch late. The ball got tipped and then intercepted. The Broncos would then start that possession in the Saints territory, advanced the ball a couple of yards on that drive, and then ended up kicking a 58-yard field goal to get on the board. The Saints would later add two rushing touchdowns, both by Latavius Murray. And this game ended up being mostly a ground game for the Saints, who ran the ball 44 times for 229 total yards, 5.2 yard average per run. Alvin Kamara saw 11 of those runs, while Latavius Murray saw 19, and Taysom Hill ran 10 plays again, this time with 8 design runs as opposed to the 6 that he saw last week. He completed 9 of 16 passes for just 78 yards and threw an interception, sacked 3 times for 15 yards. But it was really the Saints defense that stood out in this one. Again, the 3 takeaways could have been 5, only allowed a single catch in this game. They also got 1 sack in this one as well. And on 33 carries by the Denver Broncos, the Saints allowed only 100 yards even, an average of 3 yards per carry. So while it was a game that was a bit sloppy on the offensive side for the New Orleans Saints, we got a little bit more context after the game when we got Sean Payton and Taysom Hill's press conference. Their post-game pressers shed a lot of light on what the Saints' game plan was coming into this game, especially after learning about the odd circumstance that they would be facing with the Denver Broncos. We'll hear a couple of clips from their pressers to help provide a little bit of context up here in just a moment as we dive deeper into Taysom Hill and the offense's performance. We'll talk about whether or not this game deserves an asterisk of any sort based upon the situation that the Denver Broncos were subject to, and we'll talk a bit more as well about how we can use this game to evaluate Taysom Hill, if at all, in terms of the heir apparent potential conversation that we're having here while he's getting his opportunity to start in place of the injured Drew Brees. Then we'll get to the defense and talk a bit about where this game ranks in terms of all-time defensive performances for the New Orleans Saints. We got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Well, now that we're through the Thanksgiving weekend, I know I certainly have a little bit of work to do in terms of working off some of these calories that I put on myself throughout the week here, but when it comes to getting in shape and staying in shape, nothing feels quite as good as the feeling of accomplishment, that one that you get when you hit your fitness goals and feel great about yourself. And Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your fitness activity of choice may be, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. And I don't know about you, but I used to like going and taking the classes and things like that help me stay motivated. Can't do that right now. So when I'm at home, I love the idea of being able to have world-class instructors that can motivate me with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio classes, always available whenever it is that you need them. And if you're somebody that has a lot of active folks in your house, Echelon is not only affordable, but it's affordable for everyone because one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. And right now you can try Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Just go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. All right, Huda Nation, don't miss tomorrow's episode of Locked On Saints as we dig a little bit deeper into this 31-3 victory by the New Orleans Saints over the quarterbackless Denver Broncos in our Analytics Tuesday episode. Get in, dig in a little bit deeper, and figure out a bit more about what the numbers tell us about this performance, particularly over on the Saints' defensive side, which has been incredibly impressive, which we're going to get to next here in just a moment. But first, I want to get started by talking a little bit more about Taysom Hill and his performance. Does this Saints offense, does this win for the Saints deserve an asterisk? How much of this can we use to evaluate Taysom Hill? I think we're all in a place now to where we have to evaluate Taysom Hill because we're looking at the first snaps we're actually getting of him at quarterback and what it means for the Saints' future post Drew Brees. We have to be able to talk about how we can evaluate this, but is this a game that we can actually really evaluate much from? And the answer is both no and yes. And to help clarify what I mean by that, we're going to listen to a couple of clips here. First, here's what Saints head coach Sean Payton had to say about Taysom Hill's performance and how it sort of aligned with what Sean Payton wanted to see with this game plan.
I think there's going to be this, well, Taysom played this thing just how I wanted him to play it. And it doesn't have to be aesthetically pleasing to be effective. The job is to win, and he did a good job of that.
Now, to get a little bit more detail about what that game plan was, Taysom Hill actually talked about it pretty loosely during his post-game presser. Here he is answering a question from Nick Underhill, talking a bit about how the game plan changed and what that meant for him coming in.
At the end of the day, through my conversations with Coach, I felt like my responsibility was get us in and out of the huddle, make sure we're lined up properly, make sure we were targeting everything correctly. I was happy with the way that I was able to manage the game plan.
So it sounds like as a starter this week, Taysom Hill's job was not to go out there and put up a ton of points or go out there and try to take shots down the field or play the game that you saw last week or that we all saw from him last week against the Atlanta Falcons. It sounds like his job was just to go into this game and not lose. And I completely understand that. Coach Payton also mentioned something during his presser to where he talked about how there are a couple of ways to lose a game like this for a team, and they weren't interested in one of those ways. And I think that one of those ways, when he refers to that, is to go out there and try to make this big statement and try to win this game in such a fashion to where you go out there and you really blow this team out of the water, which they ended up doing anyway. But you go out there and you try to do that, and then you have all these unforced errors, interceptions, sacks that lead to fumbles, strips, fumbles, fumble recoveries for touchdowns, things like that, right? You create more issues for yourself than you potentially actually go out there and make the plays that you think you're going to make mentally, right? So while the aesthetic might be a little bit more pleasing because you're airing the ball out, you're attacking down the field, you're doing all these things, you also run a greater risk of screwing that up. And I think that makes sense that you would be a little bit more conservative and cautious, especially considering the fact that Denver's defense is much better than Atlanta's defense. You also know that Denver is not a familiar opponent for Taysom Hill. You're going into this game away from home, your quarterback's second start in the NFL, right? Second NFL start ever. And it's also on the road against the Denver Broncos and an unfamiliar AFC non-conference opponent. I understand why it is that they wanted to maybe be a little bit more conservative with this game plan. But with them being more conservative, you kind of hedge your bets a little bit, or you hedge a little bit what you're able to actually apply to the evaluation process of Taysom Hill. So is there anything you can take away from this win when you're talking about Taysom? And the fact of the matter is, yes, first of all, that he can execute that game plan. And that he can execute, in that case, two different game plans. He can be the quarterback that can go out there and push the ball down the field, that can run and create, be exciting, and be that sort of toy that Sean Payton is very excited about. But he can also go out there and just simply manage a game, do what it is that the coaches want him to do. And of course, he wants to go out there. He wants to be competitive. He wants to light the scoreboard up. Every quarterback does, and especially a guy that has an exciting skill set like him. But he being able to rein that in to make conscious and smart decisions, even though some of his decisions were not smart, but majority make smart decisions to help make sure that his team wins in a game that, you know, you're playing against an offense that's not going to move the ball. Again, 13 passing yards for their starting quarterback, 12 passing yards for the team, thanks to a sack for -1 yard, right? So it makes perfect sense. But is there anything you can take away from the evaluation process outside of that? So you have that, to where, yes, he can go out there and he can execute that game plan and he can play a non-selfish version of football, which is great to know. But also, You saw him make a couple of the same mistakes in the few times that he was asked to throw, which was not much. He completed 9 of 16 passes, so just over 50% of his passes in this game. Nothing really super daring, nothing really out of the ordinary, but we did see him take a couple of shots. We saw a nice completion to a curl in a zone that it was a deep curl for Michael Thomas on the left sideline. We saw a nice back shoulder throw to Michael Thomas on the left sideline as well. But then we saw, you know, a couple of questionable throws, him holding the ball on an Alvin Kamara screen, which he said that Alvin Kamara ran into the end. And so it just wasn't the advantageous look, but he acknowledged that he should have thrown it away. Okay, well then let me see you throw that away, right? He tried to force another pass down the left sideline to Jerry Cook in double coverage when Marquez Callaway was wide open down the middle of the field behind the defense. He's going to hate himself when he sees that tape. You saw the interception as well, him just late on another deep curl to Michael Thomas on the right side of the field this time, and ends up getting tipped and then intercepted. So you saw a lot of those things to where he's not trying to force anything out of the ordinary. He's not trying to force a run. He's not trying to make plays with his legs before looking at how to pass. He simply takes a long time to move through his progressions, or a longer time than maybe the offense is accustomed to and we're accustomed to watching as fans, because we've been grown accustomed to Drew Brees doing it. Takes a little while moving through those progressions. Decision-making is not necessarily on point. And in the times where he has made a decision, maybe sometimes those decisions are questionable. Those are all carryover issues from what we saw last week against the Atlanta Falcons, that when there were times where he struggled, those were the same issues. So you're not really seeing an improvement from week to week. But again, how much does that really matter right now? I don't know. We'll have to see really what it looks like next week. I think in terms of tracking the progression and change in those things, it's hard for me to say, okay, well, this is it. This is who Taysom Hill is, because we still don't entirely know just yet. So I think we'll get a better understanding of all of that next week against the Atlanta Falcons. But there's certainly some things to watch. And I think that's the deal. This is going to be a 4-game evaluation process for Taysom Hill at the least. And I think that that's what we need to give him. And that's coming from me as somebody that was very much not interested really in him being a guy to go out there until we got to see more of him. Now we're seeing more of him, but unfortunately this game plan didn't really lend itself towards what you need to see. Now, the other part of it is, does this game plan and does the situation around this game mean that the Saints win means any less? And for me, despite Nancy Armour's little weird article over at USA Today, no, it doesn't. The Saints still went out there and won against a very good defense, which is, you know, Denver's defense. They had great game planning. The thing that I was so interested about, and the reason why I loved this game so much, was watching to see how each team was able to sort of navigate its own weird situation. We'll break it down a little bit further in tomorrow's episode, but the play designs, the usage of personnel, motion, pre-snap, Sean Payton did a lot of really creative things that I loved in this game that we'll break down more throughout the week. But to me, this was a very creative victory for the Saints, and one that said that, look, no matter what the sort of adversity or no matter what the condition, the Saints will find a way to win. And 228 yards on the ground in this game. I thought this was a really interesting game, and I can't wait to break it down more. But now that we're kind of done talking about the Taysom Hill angle, let's talk a little bit about the injuries, first of all, that we need to update from this game. And then we'll also talk about the defense here in just a little bit. Where does this game rank amongst all-time defensive performances by the New Orleans Saints? We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. So along with trying to work off all of these Thanksgiving calories, I'm going to need to make sure I've got myself something that's going to keep my energy up, keep me moving, keep me pushing. And for that, I always turn to Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And right now they've got their Cyber Monday deal going on with two limited edition products that you're going to love. There's the white chocolate cherry sundae bar, only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar, but 17 grams of protein. You've also got the white chocolate coconut deluxe, 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein there as well. And you're going to get two free candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased, 150 calories in those, 7 grams of sugar. That's it. While you're getting 17 grams of protein, plus you're going to get 25% off of all products and receive one free advent calendar with every purchase that includes 12 Built Bites and 12 months of savings. Just go to builtbar.com and get 20% off for Cyber Monday. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to get a little extra off the top as well. All of that for you today at builtbar.com. All right, Houdat Nation, don't miss the biggest stories around the NFL as Monday's Locked On NFL host Peter Bukowski interviews the local experts on the biggest stories from all around the league. You get big wins, shocking endings, top performances, and unexpected developments like what the New Orleans Saints dealt with today. Get the in-depth analysis and insightful breakdowns from all of those in the know every Monday at Locked On NFL. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcast. Now, wrapping up with today's episode, I want to take a look at the Saints defense and the way that they perform. I have a couple of updates on injuries to give you as well. Marquez Callaway ended up leaving this game with an undisclosed injury at this time. No word from him just yet or about him just yet. They ended up subbing in Austin Carr to field punts after Callaway ended up having to leave with his injury, but could have also been precautionary considering the temperature of that game, I'll say. And then the other big injury was Janoris Jenkins. He missed an interception early on in the game, got another interception, got a little excited about it when he got that other one, and then ended up getting tackled and sort of twisting backwards over his left knee a bit. He ended up hobbling off the field, was replaced by Patrick Robinson for the rest of the game. Nick Underhill tweeted out a little bit after the contest, said Janoris Jenkins, avoided significant injury to his knee. He's expected to be quote-unquote fine, according to a source. So that's good news, and I'm glad for that because he has been a very, very big part of what the Saints defense has been able to do here over the last couple of weeks. And that's where we want to sort of kick off this conversation. The Saints holding the Denver Broncos to 112 total yards in this game. 112 if you account for the minus 1 yard for the sack. So the question that I've kind of been teasing this entire time is, where does that rank amongst defensive performances for the New Orleans Saints in their history? And the answer is the absolute best when it comes to total yardage. Now, again, we have to remember there was no quarterback for the other team in this game. They were rolling with a high school or a college quarterback who was a practice squad wide receiver, was a 1,000-yard receiver his final year at Wake Forest. So he had transitioned over to wide receiver during his collegiate time. They ran a lot of wildcat offense as well. Again, Phillip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon, Royce Freeman, all taking snaps from there. But this Saints defense, regardless of any of that, and regardless of how just completely unfamiliar this system ended up being for them, this team held the Denver Broncos to barely over 100 yards. And in fact, had it not been for a big 20-something yard run by Royce Freeman late in the game, the Saints would have actually held them to under 100 total yards all told, but they hold them to 112, which is their best total yardage total or opposing total yardage total since they held the Raiders to 117 yards in 1991. Now, this, of course, as we can continue to say, comes with caveats, and I don't mind saying that, but still, this defense performed extraordinarily well, and this was definitely a game plan that suited the linebackers for the New Orleans Saints. Probably better than anybody else. Yes, the secondary had a nice and easy sort of game off, particularly the safeties who didn't have to do much coverage deep down the field. But when you look at what or at least they weren't stressed in doing it, but when you look at these linebackers, Quan Alexander and Demario Davis, this was an absolute field day for them because you had nothing but perimeter runs all over the place from Wildcat. You had scrambling quarterbacks. You had, you know, the one dump off to Noah Fant for 13 yards, the only pass that was completed in this game. This was 100% a game plan that leaned directly into their strengths and them being able to run sideline to sideline, being able to make big tackles and tackle downhill whenever they decided to run up the middle and between the tackles. They got to race around the edges to lock off any perimeter runs and contain any perimeter runs. The Broncos also tried to get KJ Hamler involved in their run game with a couple of reverses as well. The Saints defended those well also. So, you know, we've seen the Saints perform well against high octane passing teams. We've seen the Saints now perform against a team whose only option really was to run the ball. And obviously, if you're going to be made one dimensional, the way you want to be made one dimensional is that you have to pass the ball. This was a perfect example of how it is that having a fantastic running game alone will not win you games in the NFL. And it also proved to everybody who believes that they can go out there and complete a pass, as somebody said on Twitter, you can't. You probably can't. And so, look, I look at this and, you know, you can take away some okay things and, you know, some here and there things from the Saints offensive performance. The Saints also, you know, I didn't even mention, of course, with all the craziness that was going on, but You know, on Saturday, the Saints found out that Teron Armstead wasn't going to be available to them because he tested positive for COVID-19. And the only person, thankfully, that ended up going out with him because of close contact was reserve tackle, or let me say backup tackle, Derek Kelly. And so it ended up being okay. The Saints had James Hurst. They had Andres Pete out. So they had Nick Easton step in at left guard. So, you know, they were in at least a better situation they had been in before. But there was a lot to take away from this game in terms of just managing adversity and managing a unique situation. The Saints defense very much did that and certainly made the best of this opportunity to not be taken advantage of by something that they hadn't seen before. We have to remember, too, that the Saints, up until a day before this game, were preparing to take on a Drew Lock-led offense that was going to be able to throw the ball, at least get the ball down the field a bit, and you potentially pass more than 9 times. But, you know, still, they were ready for a Drew Lock offense, and then all of a sudden, they had to shift their gears and be ready for this weird wildcat situation that the Broncos were unfortunately thrown into. And, you know, you can have whatever feelings you want to have about whether or not Denver deserved to play or whether they should have postponed the game since it was their entire wide receiver group. But for the Saints defense, there was still a massive adjustment that they had to make to not be caught off guard and made to look like complete fools in this game. And they did a very, very good job at this. They dominated every level against competition that was not up to par with them, but that's exactly what you want to see. You want to see them dominate competition that's not up to par with them. So the Saints defense now over the last 4 games has allowed 3 points, 16 points, 9 points, and 3 points. That's 1 touchdown over 4 games. That's 7 points per game over those 4 games. So they've performed extremely well here recently. They've gotten better and better and better. The acquisition of Quan Alexander being a big part of that, but also just their own communication execution, doing their job very well. And this was another example of them doing their jobs extremely well, particularly the second level linebackers and even the defensive line, who may have only walked away with 1 sack this game, but did get 4 quarterback hits attributed to them and had 6 tackles behind the line of scrimmage as a defense too. So this is just an outstanding performance by this team to not be taken off guard, to maintain their dominance that they have set and the example that they set for themselves over the past few weeks, and to, like I said earlier, just not get embarrassed by some type of a weird situation that you didn't adequately prepare for. They did a hell of a job preparing for this on a day's notice. And now we'll continue to break this down all throughout the week here on the show. We got Analytics Tuesday coming up tomorrow. We've got our Film Watch Wednesday coming up on Wednesday, as well as mailbag questions to get your questions in over the Locked On Saints Facebook group. So we'll get more in depth with all of this after today's overview of all of it. But still, some good things to take away from this game, some things to just kind of let go based on the situation, a weird and wild situation that we'll continue to highlight here throughout the week before turning our attention back to the rival Atlanta Falcons. Of course, we have Aaron Freeman come through on Crossover Thursday to help us get ready for that. So look, I'm not ready to make any big rash judgments on anything based on this game. I'm really hardly using this in terms of any evaluating tool, but there are still some really interesting things about this game, and I'm really excited to dig into it, particularly the play calling by Sean Payton that I thought was really fantastic. So make sure you come back throughout the week to get caught up on all of that. And as always, make sure you stick around here on Locked On Saints every Monday through Friday. I thank you very much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support, for helping me grow this family. It's been Locked On Saints, and trust Sudet Nation. I'll holla at you.